Well, again, as we continue this morning, I want to just spend a couple of minutes sharing with you some things I felt like God laid on my heart to share by way of a message. And I want you to know that this has been on my heart for a couple of weeks, and actually more than that, a month or more now, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you, but this is going to be a little bit different than a typical message. We normally open our Bibles and study together, and I'm not even going to ask you to open your Bibles today. I know that's awkward and weird, and so thank you for bringing it, and you're welcome to hang on to it. But I'm going to be sharing with you some stuff today that I sense and feel like God's asking me to share with you. And I'm going to give you just the kind of the spoiler alert. Today I'm going to share with you what it looks like to go on a journey to take steps of connection both to the kingdom at large, and I'll explain that in a minute, and also to a local church. Now, I've seen this over and over again in the local church. People sometimes are unclear about what the process of moving into deeper level of connectivity and commitment is in the church. They don't know, like, what's step one, what's step two, where do I go next? And so this morning, in terms of Solace Church, you will be perfectly clear on what that looks like. And here's the spoiler alert. I'm also going to share with you after that how to leave a church. It should be great, all right? Just hang on for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you've ever wondered what it looks like to take steps like towards being more connected to a local church, this applies. Some of these apply across the board. Doesn't matter if you're a part of Solace Church or not, any church for that matter. It'll apply across the board. And some of them will apply specifically to Solace Church. And I think you'll be able to see the differences as we move forward. So if a person was like, what do I do with the whole church thing? What do I do with the whole God thing? What do the steps of connection look like in terms of God and his kingdom and his church? So here we go. Step number one, if you're writing things down, let's just jump right into them. Step number one is salvation. Now, you don't have to be saved before you can come to a local church like this and hang out with us. But in terms of understanding what God's up to in the world and understanding the whole idea of a kingdom, you really have to appreciate what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so salvation is the beginning point of a relationship with God. Outside of salvation, we're at odds with God. Our life is not right with God. We've heard that statement over and over again, but it's so true. Scripture talks about the fact that we're enemies, or we're even talks about aliens for that matter, which I know seems weird, right? But we're just distant. We're not citizens, if you will, in terms of the church, in terms of God's kingdom. And so salvation begins that process. Now, how does a person get saved? Well, it's actually really clear in Scripture. You know, it takes recognizing that you need salvation, first of all. It takes recognizing that I'm a sinner, that I've messed life up, and that I need someone to save me. And then it takes believing that God made a way for salvation through Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so that's why Paul can write things like, if you would confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. And so salvation is confessing that I need a Savior and confessing that Jesus is the one who can save me through what he accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection. So salvation is the beginning point of the journey. And if you're here today and you've never taken that step, I just want to say this. If you've never, ever taken a step to say, God, I need you, I need to be saved, please know this. When we talk about what the church does and what God's doing in the world, all of that actually is a little bit weird without embracing the idea that God first wants to save us. All the other stuff seems like, oh, he wants us to give and he wants us to do this and that. All seems like forced labor, and it's actually not. It's actually the expression of gratitude when I understand what salvation looks like. So salvation is the beginning of that. What's next? Number two is what we're going to do in just a couple of minutes, which is baptism. Paul talks about why a person should get baptized. And he says it like this in Romans chapter 6. He says, for we are buried with Christ in baptism, and we are raised with him in the newness of life. In other words, baptism signifies that you are saved. Baptism is step number two because it lets the world know that you've already done step number one, that you've accepted Christ as Savior. Baptism is that sign of salvation. And so if you've never been baptized and you feel like you've accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've never been baptized, we have a whole bunch of people that are getting ready to be baptized in just a minute. But please hear me. If you've never been baptized before, by immersion, put all the way under the water. If you've never done that before and you feel like you're a Christian today, you don't have to be a part of our church. This could be your first time ever at Solace Church, and we would love to be able to baptize you today. So I would encourage you to consider maybe the next step for you is coming alongside of us and allowing us to baptize you because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. So baptism is step number two. If you study the book of Acts, it's always what happened. They believed and they were baptized. Over and over again, that pattern is repeated. And so step number two is baptism. Step number three is regular church attendance. All right. Hear me, you can come to church regularly and not be saved and never been baptized. That's absolutely true. But in terms of commitment, the first two apply to the kingdom, what God's doing in the world. You can be saved and you can be baptized and actually not have a local church that you're connected to on a regular basis. But this is where the local church comes into play, this idea of regular church attendance. All right, I know today that we have a saying at our church and everyone needs to hear it again. We believe you can be gone, but don't stay gone. That is, go on vacation, but don't stay on vacation. It's a great saying, and we all embrace that. It's a good cultural reality for churches today where people need to get away. Hear me, though. I think some people are hearing me when I say that, say something that I'm not saying. So if you think by me saying be gone, don't stay gone, if you think that means that, you know, church is kind of optional if you feel like coming, then you've totally missed what I've tried to communicate. Hear me. Regular church attendance is a critical step on the journey of following Christ. There is no replacement for the local body of believers. In the first century, if someone accepted Christ, they couldn't have imagined not being connected with other believers. It was called an ecclesia or a gathering. Believers met together and did life together. And so I know we live in a culture where church is just kind of squeezed in, if it makes sense, you know, around all of our other schedules, but that is totally contrary to what we see in Scripture. It is a commitment that you make. And some of us, quite honestly today, here's the truth. Some of you in the room today, the biggest next step you need to take in your life is you need to look at your family, your wife, your husband, your kids, and you need to say to them, you know what? I'm tired of being the once every, you know, 6 weeks, once every couple of months kind of people. We're committed to the local church. We're going to be faithful to come. You know what? When I was growing up, my mom took us to church religiously. We hardly ever missed. And she didn't ask my opinion. She didn't say, babe, do you feel like going this morning? She didn't ever ask that. It was, we're going to church. Because the commitment was there to make sure that we were connected. And so regular church attendance. Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together, which some are in the manner of doing. In other words, don't quit meeting together, which some have started doing and not meeting together. But rather, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And we should do it all the more as we see the day approaching. In other words, Jesus is coming. Let's be meeting together. Commitment to the local church. Number four, financial giving. Isn't this fun? You're like, man, this is great preaching today, Matt. Very good. Thanks. Well, it's actually true. Financial giving is another step of commitment to the local church. We call it tithing and giving an offering. And financial giving is both about obedience and generosity. We believe in Scripture God calls us to the first 10% of our income to give to his storehouse, to his temple, to the church. That's what it is. And then above and beyond that, generous with everything that God has entrusted to us. And so financial giving is a step of commitment. Now, whenever you talk about finances and giving, people always get a little weirded out because they think, number one, the pastor's, you know, all he needs is money and he's, you know, just out to get his own stuff and, you know, the church is desperate. None of that stuff is true. Hear me. This is not about some felt need within my world or our church. Our church is doing great, and I'm so thankful for those who've already done step four. You're generous, and because of that, our church is functioning very, very well. This is not about us. This is about you. This message is about how you can get more connected to what God's doing in the world. So financial giving is a part of that. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says this. Matter of fact, throughout the letter he talks about this, but he talks about the fact that each of us should decide to set aside a portion of our income, and we should do so not begrudgingly or out of necessity. Or in other words, you're not just compelled because someone from the stage said that you had to, but rather that out of gratitude and worship for the number one step, salvation, you would be willing to be generous and share. And so God loves a cheerful giver, those who are willing to come alongside and set aside a portion for the benefit of the kingdom. So financial giving. Number five, joining as a member. Now, as I said before, there's not a verse that speaks to joining in the church, all right? I get that. And there's not a single verse that says, thou shalt join a local church. It's not there. But what it does speak to is commitment, as I said a moment ago. Everyone needs a church family. Church, there are wonderful churches all across this area. Wonderful churches all over Sand Springs, Sepulpa, West Tulsa, all over Tulsa, all over the nation for that matter. And you can go from church to church and place to place and hop around, and you can do that and get a good message here and a good worship experience there, but there's no replacement for saying, I have a church family. So, joining a local church now, or joining as a member. Now, at Solace Church, we've had a couple of different avenues to be able to do that. When we started out at Solace Church, I preached a message, and I said the very next week, those of you who want to be our very first members, would you just sign a piece of paper, and you can be our very first founding members of our church. And we had like 50 people do that. And then after that, membership for us was like, hey, meet with me for about 30 minutes. I'll give you a couple of good things, and we just need some people, so you join with us, all right? We don't have a lot of people. You can be our people. But we realized along the way that that wasn't sufficient, that membership really needed to mean something. And so we started Entry Point, which is a six-week class that met at my house. That was so much fun. And for those of you who did it, thank you for doing that. Then we switched to Growth Track, which is a really good pattern for us. But we realized that Growth Track ultimately wasn't going to be a long-term solution for us. And so we're making a couple of adjustments. How does a person join at Solace Church? All right, here's the change we're going to make. We're going to move away from Growth Track, and membership at Solace Church is going to start with what we're going to call Dinner with the Pastor. That's right. You're going to get a chance to eat a meal with me. Aww. And I'm going to talk to you about what it means to, what you're going to hear our story, our history, our doctrine, what it means to be a member, what's the requirements for membership, what should you expect out of us as member, as a church, as a member of our church. And so, Dinner with the Pastor. Now, we're going to have that October 4th, the first Dinner with the Pastor ever. If you've never become a member of our church, or you've never gone through the membership process, I want you to be at this event. October 4th, Dinner with the Pastor, free dinner here in this auditorium. I'll be hanging with you. Now, if you're a member, I'm sorry. I'll buy you lunch some other time, all right? For this, though, it's Dinner with the Pastor. I want you to be here if you've never been a part of it. Child care will be provided as well for this event, so Dinner with the Pastor. After that, you'll know exactly how to join, all right? So, joining as a member. Number six. How do I get more connected at Solace Church? By serving in a ministry. Serving in a ministry. Every single person ever created has a purpose. And in Christ, we are both saved and gifted or equipped. And every single person has a ministry to carry out. Paul says it this way in Ephesians. God gave some to be apostles, teachers, leaders within the church to equip or prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be complete, not lacking anything, right? So the point is when you find your place to live out your kingdom purpose, the body of Christ is full and mature and functioning as it should. When you fail to find that, the body of Christ lacks completeness and doesn't function at full capacity. And so that's why serving in a ministry is so important. It's why it's about connecting. That's why connecting is so important in the journey. So I want you to know that at Solace Church, we're going to have what we're going to call Connect Night. Now, it's going to replace part of Growth Track. At Growth Track, we went through a process of helping you discover how you're gifted and how you're wired. Connect Night is how we're going to start doing that moving forward. And it's going to be October 11th. So come eat with me on October 4th. And if you're here today and you've never been connected, and maybe you're here and you're even a member and you're not sure how to get connected, October 4th is your night, or 11th is your night as well, Connect Night. Okay, October 11th, Connect Night, find your place in ministry, and we'll tell you much more about that. Okay, so serving in a ministry. All right, number seven. Joining a Solace group. At Solace Church, we meet together in small groups of people all over the area, and we do life together. I am a facilitator of a Solace group, my 20-somethings group. Thank you. We are having an incredible time. You know why? Because we're doing life together. We're hanging out, we're going to Drillers baseball games, and we're doing service projects together, and we're studying God's Word together. There are friendships that have formed in that group. People are now close friends that were not even connected before. It is a great avenue to get connected at Solace Church. Now, Solace Church is going to be starting our Solace groups coming up September 20th. If you've never been a part of them, we'll be telling you a whole lot more about that, but this is another way to get connected. All right, so these are the seven steps of connectivity at Solace Church. I just walked you all the way through them, okay? But there's one more, just quickly, I want to mention. This is as far as Solace Church can take you, 1 through 7. We can help you with the first 7, but we can't help you with number 8. And this is a step some of you need to take, is feeding yourself. Some of us in the room today, you rely all on the church for spiritual food, and you're not developing personally the habits necessary to grow spiritually yourself. And so let me encourage you today. This is the step you can take. The church can only take you so far. This is the next step some of us need to take. Number 8. All right, so here we go. 1 through 8. That's how you get connected. Are you ready to leave? I mean, don't leave, but are you ready to learn how to leave? All right, I'm going to go through these quickly, not because they're not important, but I just want to mention them to you, and you'll see why in just a second. Okay, so that's how you get connected. How do I leave? Some of you are here today because you came from another church, and now you're connected at Solace Church. Some of you, quite honestly, you may not stay with us long term. You may not be here for a long time. If you have to leave, or if you're coming from someone else, some other place that you left, how do you do that? How does that work? Here we go, real quick. Number 1, I think you begin by praying and listening. Leaving a church ought to be a big deal. If leaving a church for you is not a big deal, you never got connected in the first place. Leaving a church should be a big deal. And it should come because the Holy Spirit is prompting you to leave. There are legitimate reasons to leave a church, and there are reasons you should not leave a church. Just because you didn't like a specific message the pastor preached, you should not leave because of that. There's going to be lots of those. I'm sorry to disappoint, but you may be thinking today, I'm not coming back because of the message you're preaching right now. Okay, not reason to leave the church. But there are legitimate reasons. False doctrine, a church that doesn't preach and teach the essentials, like Jesus is the only way of salvation, and God is triune, Trinity, you know, 3 in 1, those kinds of things. Just because you don't like a thing isn't the reason to leave. It ought to be prompted by the Holy Spirit to find a new location. And so pray and then listen to God. Number 2, seek some objective counsel. Oftentimes when you leave, you get people around you that you just want to hear from, and you guys just, you know, verbally berate, and so you find a way to leave because you get in your little circles, and we get in our little circles, and we say, well, this is a good reason to leave. Find someone outside of that circle to speak wisdom objectively into the environment. Sometimes you do need to leave. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes there's other steps you need to take, and leaving is not the step you need to take, so seek some objective counsel. Proverbs teaches us about this, about seeking wise counsel. I mean, it's very clear in Scripture this is what we ought to do. Number 3. Talk with a staff member. What do I mean by that? If you need to leave our church, or you left another church and are here now, please hear me. Please talk face to face with some leader in the church. People have left our church through email or text messages or voicemail. And I'm like, look, have the courage to come talk to one of our staff members and tell us. And then be brutally honest with us. If you left another church and they don't know that you are gone, would you go back and tell them why you left? And then connect to the place where God would have you to connect. So talk to a staff member as you leave. Number 4, resolve any conflict. So many people leave the body of Christ, leave the local church, and they leave because of conflict. If you left because of conflict, before you get connected here, would you go back and seek to resolve the conflicts that you left? Would you do that? And if you're going to leave here and there's conflicts in you leaving, would you please make sure you're doing whatever you can to resolve the conflicts here? As far as it depends on you, live at peace. So do your part to resolve any conflict before you leave, if at all possible. Number 5. Ask for their blessing. Now, I know this is awkward, and here's why. Because everyone feels very independent in our world today. Like, you can't tell me what to do, you can't tell me where to go, and I don't really need your opinion or your blessing when I go. I'll go where I want to, and it doesn't matter what you say. Well, that's actually technically true. There's nothing about a blessing that, you know, does anything more than just kind of sends off in the right way. But how about honoring the process and honoring people that have been in leadership over you? Ask for their blessing. Tony Swart, who's been in our church almost since day one, has recently now, he's left, and he's now at a church that he felt like God asked him to go and be at. And he came in and spoke with me and with Chuck Burton, and he said, look, I'm so thankful for Solace Church, but God's prompting us to go be with Tony's in-laws is where they went. And so I was so honored by that. And he asked us, are we okay? Are you okay with that? Right? He was asking for our blessing. And of course we sent him out. If God's leading you, yes, go and do. But ask for the church's blessing before you go. Number 6, honor the church you're leaving. When someone comes here and they says, hey, came from this other church, and oh my gosh, it was this terrible experience, and the pastor was horrible, and that doesn't do anything for me. I like, did you go and talk to them about that? There's no benefit of just verbally destroying reputations of churches just because you personally had a bad experience. Hear me. There are a few churches in the world that do nothing right and they need to shut their doors. But by and large, most churches have a few things going well for them and they need to be honored for those things, not just destroyed verbally because you didn't like them. And so leave with some dignity. Honor the church that you are leaving. All right? So 10% a year on average leave the church and go somewhere else. So this year, 90 people will leave Solace Church. Leave with honor and dignity.
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solacechurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solacechurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.